New year, new season, new music, and new episodes. Welcome back to the podcast that makes you faster. I had a tea with Sam Laidlaw and the chance to ask him a few questions about joining the Suicide Roaster, all things Arrow, about his plans for the season, and so much more. Don't want to keep you waiting, so let's go! Sam, you just had a turbo session and a run this morning. And what I always ask myself when I get off the turbo is, how do pros convince themselves after a hard session on the turbo that this is the thing they want to do for their whole life or for the next 20 years, let me say?
Yeah, good question. To be fair, this morning it was just, I think I averaged 220 watts, so it was pretty easy. But yeah, I don't know why we do it, really. It's a pretty hard sport. I don't know. I think triathlon is a very honest sport. I think it's I don't think people who do triathlon do it to show off, you know, like you would do in, I don't know, CrossFit or HYROX or some other sport.
Yeah,
you know?
Shirtless and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. I think people who do triathlon, they do it for themselves and to see how far they can push their own body and see how disciplined they can be, how healthy they can get. Because at the end of the day, when you're really reaching peak performance, you're also trying to achieve peak health. You know, people who are very fit, they're also very metabolically fit, and when you're very metabolically fit, you're very healthy. I think it's a healthy lifestyle, and seeing how good you can get and how well balanced. It's also a very well balanced sport, you know? So it's hours in the garage or whatever, your pain cave, but yeah, I enjoy it. I always find this switch when I go from like summer to winter. I really hate the initial sessions of being inside, but then I think you get into a routine and you almost kind of like enjoy it a bit.
Yeah, because you're doing it day in, day out, and
I think it's very easy to see progress in indoor training more so than outdoor, because maybe if you're going outdoors one day it might be too windy, so your pace slows down and you can't measure everything like you do inside. It's very controllable, everything's measurable, so yeah, I think it's a great tool to have.
Nice. Do you remember your first touching point with Suicide? When you see the brand first, or the wheels, or?
Do I remember my first touching point? It's difficult because I'm someone who's very, I'm constantly on the lookout for equipment and material, and I like to think that I always know my stuff and always kind of keep a door open to know kind of where gains are to be had. I definitely remember my first ride on Swiss side wheels, which were we were doing a training camp actually with Canyon in the lead up to Nice. And they had some Swiss side wheels, and I was trialing different wheels for the course, and then after that I did some aero testing, and the Swiss side wheels turned out fastest on my bike on the Canyon, and with my position anyway. Also, I think what kind of brought me, or what convinced me to change with Suicide, was more than just the wheels, was the overall support that the brand could give me. I had a very good relationship with my previous wheel sponsor, so it was very, very tough, and I never thought that I would probably leave. The wheels are faster from the testing I've done, and the support was better, so yeah, I made that decision, and I'm really excited for what's ahead.
It's exciting for us to have you on the team as well, so thanks a lot for joining us.
Cool.
We always say in the beginning of this podcast, like, this is the podcast that makes you faster. And Suicide is all about aerodynamics, of course. Would you consider yourself an aero geek, or do you leave all this aero stuff to the bike fitters and the team around?
I'm definitely not an aero geek. There are a lot of people that are very geeky about it, and some of my rivals are much more than me. It's a fine balance. I think at the end of the day, as I said before, triathlon is a very honest race, and the strongest legs win the race often.
Yeah.
But equally, you want every gain you can get. But it's difficult to juggle, because sometimes if you want to do aero testing, you have to go away for a week and do the testing and kind of sacrifice the actual training, you know. So it's always a fine balance. There's a lot of triathletes, when they come from short course and they go to long course, they think they think that they just need to get aero and they're going to be super fast, you know, but they're actually just missing a lot of miles on in the legs.
True.
And I think you can get a long way without aero testing as well, if I'm being really honest. Mm. I mean, I broke the bike course record in Kona 3 years ago now, and I'd never done any testing, you know. So
okay, yeah.
But then I did a lot of testing and came back there and went four or five minutes quicker, you know.
Even faster, yeah.
So there's definitely something to be had, and also there's more and more money in triathlon in the sport, and so everyone's being more professional, you know. And you have to keep up to date, and you don't want to let any margins kind of given to your competitors.
Yeah, true. In this like top-notch world-class field where you are, you are not able to leave anything on the street.
Yeah, I think for Kona, for instance, aero is even more important than it would be for a course like Nice.
Yeah.
So this season I'll probably do slightly less aero testing than I did last season. Mm. I think, yeah, Nice is obviously hillier and the speeds are slightly lower. But then there's other things that come into play, like weight and handling of the wheels, which will be probably more important in Nice.
Yeah. Talking about Nice, I heard a podcast that you recorded before you won Nice the first time, and you said that this course maybe suits other athletes better.
Yeah.
Was this like playing some mind games or?
No, I genuinely believe that the course in Kona suits me better.
Oh.
Simply because I'm one of the heavier riders, so it's in Kona it's more about power to CDA instead of power to weight. And yeah, I mean, someone like Patrick, for instance, it's much more difficult to get rid of him if we're going uphill, because the guy is 15 kilos lighter than me than it is on the flat. But then on the flip side, you could argue that on the flat courses, the weaker cyclists get more benefit from the 12-meter drafting rule. Mm. And in Nice, it's kind of more of an honest ride and less drafting effect. And also, the ride is longer in Nice. You know, you spend 4.5 hours instead of 4 hours. So,
true.
Yeah, there are some advantages and kind of disadvantages of both courses for me. But, yeah, winning Nice was, of course, amazing to do it in France with my family, friends. But, yeah, I think, I know that my goal and my heart will always be in Kona.
Mm. So that's the last thing you need to check in the box. Not the last thing in your career, because you have a lot of years in front of you.
To be honest, yeah, I mean, I've devoted myself to try and win this race, and I'm very public about it. And for me, it's not about, like, if I try and try again, and if in 15 years I still haven't done it, I still would have been proud of myself for trying, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't really care, you know, if people see me fail 15 times in a row. I'm quite happy chasing this dream. Yeah. If I make it, then great.
Do you grow up watching all of these old Ironman documentaries? For me, it almost seemed like it's scripted, like wrestling or something back then, because there were so many rivalries, like Chris McCormick like acting like Hulk Hogan and Norman Stadler being Sergeant Slaughter or something. I don't know. Do you grow up watching all of this stuff?
Yeah, definitely. So my parents, we organized triathlon training camps out of this house initially, and we had a lot of people come in and all the age groupers that were coming here, they were trying to qualify for Kona. And so it quickly became kind of my dream. And then, yeah, I mean, once a year we'd sit down and watch it. And obviously in Europe, it starts very late in the evening. And then a few times I found myself being the only one kind of to stay up and watch it, you know. So there was definitely a passion there.
Nice.
From an early age.
Yeah.
Chris McCormack, as you mentioned, I think, like, for instance, I'm not a very big reader. He's one of the only guys who I've read his book called I'm Here to Win.
Yeah.
He was a great personality in the sport. And I think although he probably hasn't had, like, he hasn't got the most amazing CV in terms of what he's done for the sport, kind of behind what people can actually see, he's made triathlon much bigger than it kind of would have been without him.
Yeah, true. Are there still some rivalries? Because it, on social media, actually, it looks like everything is pretty smooth. So everybody is concentrating on their own performance and there are no, like...
Yeah. I think there are a few people that didn't really like each other, you know? I mean, Jan and Patrick are a clear example of that.
Yeah, of course.
If we're going to go there. I tried to create some some beef we had back in the day at the Collins Cup with Sam Long and and Lionel Sanders, and it got my name out there and great. And then I got my ass whooped that day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's difficult. I definitely feel that some people, I feel like some athletes, they just do their job. Like they just perform and they just want to perform, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think if you're really in love with the sport and really passionate about the sport, you want to bring people from outside the sport into it, you have to make them want to watch it. And to do that,
true,
for sure, you have to create some rivalries, you know.
Yeah.
I was actually watching this morning a documentary about Kimbo Slice. You know Kimbo Slice?
Yeah.
And he was a street fighter that got famous on YouTube, you know.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he kind of went into mixed martial arts and MMA, so many people that never watched MMA came and watched it just because they wanted to see if he was going to get beaten or not, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I think it's important. Yeah, it's important to do this in endurance sport. The only issue is with doing that in endurance sport is how much stress it causes and the impact that stress can have on a performance. You know, if I go into a ring and the guy opposite me has annoyed me for like months in the lead up to it, I'm going to beat the shit out of that guy.
Yeah,
but in triathlon, it's like, how much energy have you spent, you know, like just focusing on this guy and
maybe not seen him.
Yeah, often endurance performance is linked to how relaxed people are, you know, and often I always think that a calm and a happy mind is probably like most likely going to win a race, you know, and if you race kind of angry, that's not always great.
Yeah, true. Are you a balanced guy? Like, do you, let's say...
You tell me.
Yeah, I think so. Would I? I'm pretty chilled and relaxed with like the whole day. It's like, yeah. But is this something very important for you, like balance in your life?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've spoken about this a few times, but I think to be good at anything in life, you need to be consistent.
Mm.
Like, you need consistency over long periods of time. And if you want consistency over long periods of time, you need to be happy, and to be happy, you need to be balanced, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if it's difficult, but like I could give an example would be if I wanted to, whatever, win Nice, I could go and live like a monk now for 6 months and only train. And I probably would have a worse performance than if I like just had a balanced lifestyle and was healthy and happy.
Yeah.
And even if I did win Nice after living like a monk for 6 months, I would probably then have a massive burnout and be like out for 3 years, you know.
Yeah, true.
When I first came into long distance, I wanted it almost too much, and I was too obsessed, and I was like being really strict with how I ate and how I slept, and just I was just not a nice person to be around, and I wasn't enjoying it. You know, I felt like I felt like it was really hard. Everything was really hard, you know, and I wanted it too much. And I was trying to show everyone that I was training loads and hard, and I just wasn't happy. You know, I was racing frustrated. And so, yeah, over time you come to realize that, yeah, I'm in a very privileged spot to be able to swim, bike and run for a living, to be in a healthy body, to have a healthy family, to have supportive sponsors. And I'm painting a great image of this professional triathlon, but there are super hard times, of course.
Yeah.
But overall, I think compared to most sports, I think that being a professional triathlete is a really, really good sport, mostly because we're our own boss. I think in triathlon, there's a good balance of being able to make enough money, but still kind of having your freedom, which... In most sports where there's a lot of money, you kind of just become basically a pawn that's getting put here and here and here, like a little chess kind of set. Because let's take Formula One or cycling, for instance, the guys are on big contracts, but they don't choose for 250 days a year. They're not choosing what they're doing. You know, they're getting put here and then here and then here. They're on training camp or racing or in a plane.
Yeah.
And
it's always a team decision. Yeah.
Yeah. And in triathlon, we can race wherever we want, how we want. And it's there is more money in triathlon, as we said before, and it's kind of going away from that with the T100 series. Now they have to race 7 or 8 times a year.
Yeah.
So it's just a logical way. But I think there was definitely a golden era where you could make a good amount of money, enough to have a good living and choose your races and still be able to go to the groceries and like nobody take a photo of you, you know, because if you're Lewis Hamilton or if you're Pogacar, then that's probably not the same, you know?
Yeah, true. So, and how important is family? Like, okay, the answer is easy. Like, it's like super important for every athlete, I guess. But I told you I saw the documentation, and it feels like that in your case, it's even more special because they are like 100% behind you.
Yeah. I mean, people know, well, people who follow me and people who know my career know how important family are to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe what they don't see is kind of how much work goes into having a fully functional family. It's like anything, there's highs and lows, and I think it's been a slow progression. You know, when I first moved back home, when I was 18, I asked my dad to coach me, but at that time it was very, like, they were supportive of what I did, but nowhere near as supportive as they are now, because we had to slowly wait until the project was viable. You know, the dream scenario would be for me to make a living and to be able to employ my dad as a coach and et cetera, et cetera. But you don't know if that's going to work out, you know. So on the side, my dad obviously was coaching. We were running the training camps and stuff. So yeah, it's been a slow progression. I think with family, doing it with my family, it makes the highs higher, because you get to share kind of a big race win, but it also makes the lows kind of harder, you know,
because everyone's harmed around you.
Last year, when I got disqualified from Ironman Vitoria, and like me and myself, I was kind of okay, because I knew that I didn't make any mistakes personally, or not any drastic mistakes. You know, I knew that I wasn't cheating anyway. But I got a drafting penalty, and I the next day I was kind of all right in myself.
Yeah.
But I could just tell that my family were just like so down and depressed, and that was really hard for me, you know, because you also then have to lift them back up, you know.
Yeah, true. It's hard, I guess, because you don't have to pick yourself. It's hard enough to pick yourself up after such a such a race. Yeah.
But yeah, my dream has always been, I've had this very clear image in my head of me and my brother and my parents on the finish line in Kona.
Yeah.
Kind of with the tape in our hands, and so yeah, I'm going to strive to make that dream a reality.
Visualizing the goal. So, would you consider yourself a happy guy?
More and more so.
Okay.
Yeah, as I said before, when I first moved back home, my first years in professional triathlon, I guess, were really, I think I was quite the opposite. People around me thought that I was pretty miserable. And yeah, I mean, more and more so, I think I'm pretty content, you know. And I think also with age, you kind of realize that being happy is also a choice, you know. And I think I've learned that probably from my mum. My mum's always naturally been kind of the rock of the family and showed a lot of positivity, and kind of no matter what's happened, she'll always kind of put on a brave face and be happy, and I think that can lift the whole room up. And so I would say I'm pretty happy.
That's nice. That's the best answer to this question, I guess. Really?
Yeah, it would be shit if I sat here tonight. Yeah. I'm really sad.
not much people can say this, I guess.
I've just signed a contract with Suicide. I'm so sad.
As this podcast will be, or also this video will be released after you already put it out on Instagram and social media and everything, do you concentrate more on Ironman races or on the PTO this year?
This year, fully for Ironman, yeah.
All right.
I hesitated, but yeah, I think the T100 is a small financial gain, but my heart was just telling me to go with what I really want, and that's to be world Ironman champion, you know, and if I can do that again and again and again, then great. And yeah, so I just had this gut instinct to focus on Ironman.
Like I said, I watched his documentation about you and everything, and I consume more stuff, like, I guess.
You're really selling my documentary in this.
Yeah. Watch it. Go watch it. It's really great. Fuck. Now I lost it. No, it seems like that you are really 100% fitted to this finish line in Kona and in Nice. So I see you as objective as I can be in this whole thing, that you 100% fit on these finish lines. So that was my initial thought when I saw you racing T100s and everything. It was quite kind of like, yeah, you are like totally on fire, and I bet that you are, when you start, that you are giving your all and everything at every race. But for me, it really feels like that you are like 100% committed to do these long distance races.
Yeah, I think what has attracted me to triathlon, or Ironman specifically, is I just like this kind of last man standing of these long events, you know, this kind of vibe that you get from it. I feel like a T100 or a half Ironman, it's the fittest guy wins, you know, but in Ironman there's something a bit more than that. It's also about how much you really want it, about your deep kind of profound motivations, and also that anything can happen on a day. You know, you get some amazing athletes that are really fit, like me this year in Kona, and they completely blow up, you know, and finish 18th. So yeah, it's not just the fittest guy who wins, you know, it's the best guy, and the best means so many things, you know. It means being well balanced, I guess.
Yeah, so a great overall performance matters in these races. We're already at the last question, and if we would talk in the end of the year, like in, let's say, December 2025, best case, what would be your statement about your season 2025?
Well, my goal for the season is to win Nice and the 70.3 World Champs. So triple crown is the goal.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, I've really set the bar high, but that's just how I go. As I said before, I'm not afraid to fail, you know. I feel that that's how you get better. So
yeah,
the goal is, I'd be content if I win them three, but I mean, I'll probably be content if I win none of them also, you know. Life isn't bad.
No,
I'm not saying I probably wouldn't be content with the season, but I would still be content in myself, you know, because I know that whatever happens, I would have really committed to trying to be the best possible triathlete. Yeah. And yeah, at the end of the day, the outcome is what the outcome is.
Yeah. So what's left to say is I wish you all the best for this season and for preparations and everything. And I think we see each other at aero testing and stuff this season.
Yeah, the Seville Marathon as well.
Yeah.
The showdown between you and me.
I will only see you from behind, man. Not even from behind. I think I will run a 3:10, and you will be like 2:30 or something.
Yeah, but I'm actually starting in the pro field, so I think I'm going to be last of the pros.
But still. Like,
running is my weakness. I'm hoping that after Seville, I think okay, I'm not that shit at running. That's my goal.
Ah, okay, so that's the reason why you're starting at the marathon, just for your mind, to have one really good marathon.
Yeah, I guess I want to do it so that because sometimes if I feel like if I race an Ironman, knowing that I can run a 2:20 marathon or something, then I think I can maybe be a bit more conservative on the bike, you know.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah, looking forward to see some major performances on the bike from you this year, like I said. And wish you all the best, man. Thanks a lot for the interview.
Cheers. Thanks for everything.